Welcome to Game of Thrones off-season here at the AfterBuzz TV studios. On today's episode, we'll be discussing fashion in the Game of Thrones world, who wore it best, and the best and worst dressed. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Yes. Let's just let that play out a little bit longer.
Amazing.
It's only once a month now that we get to hear this, unless you play it in your car
just
in the shower like I do.
Like, I fall asleep to it. I don't know about you guys.
I wake up to it.
Oh, that makes sense.
It is dreamy. It's such a dreamy song. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Game of Thrones off-season, where we get together every month to discuss the latest Game of Thrones news and discussions. I'm your host, Ryan Malotti, and joining me today is an extra special guest, Zia Anderson. Welcome
to
the panel.
Hey, guys. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to talk Game of Thrones. I miss it.
I know. This is the perfect place to do it, though. It's really all we got until next year.
Absolutely.
But we also have the perpetually lovely Kristen Snyder.
Thanks, guys. Happy to be here. I really feel like I should have been more fashionable today, but I did drive an hour to be here to talk about the fashion, so that was sort of my time to prep that I would have been putting on a bunch of different clothes and jewelry, but I'm here, so.
You were fashionably late. Does that count?
Yeah. I think that counts.
Awesome. Well, I'm stoked to talk about costumes and wardrobe and fashion in the Game of Thrones world, but first, let's talk news, because we meet here every Thursday, last Thursday of the month. There it is.
TV news.
And there's always stuff going on. So what do you got for us, Kristen? What's going on in the news world?
We finally have heard that season 8 is going to premiere
in the first half of
2019, said President Casey Boyles of HBO's programming. So that, I guess, means in the first 6 months, we can look forward to it. Don't have a date for you.
So Boyles said
in the first six months.
But that's all
it's happening. Yeah, so we might get episode one.
You know, every other season has kind of started in March and April.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe
almost a year.
Maybe then.
Right.
At least it's not June, because last time we reported it might be June.
Nah.
So at least it might be before June.
It's coming.
That's news. That's news. That counts.
Definitely.
Awesome. What about you, Zia? What do you got?
Oh, we've got Boyles also mentioned in an interview with Deadline. The upcoming work on the prequel series.
Yes.
Getting
okay.
a prequel, guys. The pilot script by Jane Goldman, who did Kick-Ass and Kingsman.
Mm-hmm.
Love Kick-Ass, by the way.
It was Kick-Ass.
And, yeah, it was.
It was.
It was very well done. The story is by Goldman and George R.R. Martin, and the story takes place 8,000 years before the Game of Thrones series.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
8,000. If you think about our human history 8,000 years ago, There wasn't much going on at all, really.
Not at all.
I mean, I'm sure there was, but we just don't have a lot of a written record of it.
They forgot to write it down.
Well, the Bible, I guess, right, talks about some stuff that went down.
Some rumors.
Rumors. Rumor has it. But that's anything else?
Yeah. So it is there's no current actors will be in the prequel, which makes sense because it's 8,000 years before.
Sure.
But it will feature strong female leads, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And it's described as chronicling, quote, the world's descent from the golden age of heroes into its darkest hour. And only one in this is for sure, from the horrifying secrets of Westeros' history to the true origin of the White Walkers. The
Ooh.
Mysteries of the East to the Starks' legend. It's not the story we think we know.
Excellent.
Wow. Doesn't that sound so exciting?
Yeah, it really does. You know, my first impression was, I'm going to be honest, my first impression was like, prequel. Like, how could it ever live up to the show that we've fallen in love with over the past however many years? But that sounds pretty badass.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna lie.
That sounds cool. So, I mean, if it's telling us the origin of the White Walkers, I've always wanted to know. We don't really know.
Yeah, we've gotten kind of a flashback.
A little bit, yeah.
The Children of the Forest kind of thing.
Stabbing.
And the Night King.
Yeah.
I wonder.
There has to be more to it.
My first impression is that everyone's just wearing rags.
Well,
for 8,000 years prior, you'd think that
living in caves,
they just have like furs and stuff.
Yeah,
on.
I guess we'll find out. I mean, they're ageless. If you look at their current fashion, I mean,
which we will be.
I'm excited about that. It's like they don't have any wrinkles. They appear to not really have an age. So, I mean, well, I guess we'll see what happened. What made them that way?
Cool. Well, I'm looking forward to it. I guess they're filming the pilot early next year as well.
Awesome.
But it's kind of just still up in the air. You know, let's not get ahead of ourselves. We got season 8 to look forward to. So, well, thank you guys for the news update. Yeah. Let's jump into today's discussion, which is fashion, costumes, wardrobe. It's something that really does help tell the narrative of Game of Thrones. It's an intricate part. It's something that I noticed very early on when watching the show, is just how unique and intricate and beautiful, and it just helps you dive into the world and become part of it. When I bring up Game of Thrones fashion, what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
I mean, for me, I feel like the clothing really tells the story, because if you just gave us, like, someone brought in a costume from the show, we would probably be able to guess if it was, like, a coastal city, where they lived, what part of the world it was from. We could possibly even determine who it was, because the clothing is so characteristic towards the role and the person playing, and, mm-hmm. and their characteristics are all throughout their wardrobe, and so I'm just really excited to get into it and talk about the individuals and how their clothing really reflects who they are in this world.
Sure.
Yeah, and it's cool because you also see it change throughout especially mm-hmm. Daenerys. You see it change so much from the earlier seasons to the later seasons, mm-hmm. which I'm a big fan of what she wears in the earlier seasons.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's cool. You do. You see it progress as the characters also progress mm-hmm. and go to different places. You see the wardrobe change, and I think that's really cool also.
Excellent points. You know, I was thinking about different ways to organize this particular episode, because there is, you're right, there's so many different ways you can talk about it. You can talk about from different seasons perspective, you know, as a particular character evolved. You can talk about different regions. Kind of did a little bit of a mix of both. We're going to be talking about, and when I say best dressed and worst dressed of a certain region, it's not necessarily that the fashion is bad, because it's meant to be what it is. The lead costume designer, Michelle Clapton, who worked on the show for the first 5 seasons, is a genius. Her and her team of over 100 people spent numerous hours and money creating these intricate costumes of every character. Every episode has, I guess, at least 100 costumes. Not as much detail on the extras as the people with speaking roles, but her team just did an incredible job. So when we say worst dressed, it's purely from a perspective of fun, and, you know, if we were sitting on the red carpet, you know, like Joan Rivers used
to
do.
Right, if you were trying to get dressed up, would you wear it?
Exactly.
Not so much.
Exactly.
For some.
So let's start off with the North. Let's go up to the North and see what the fashion is all about there. So up in the North, it's
more
cold.
Yeah, it's more medieval. Yeah.
It really does seem that way, doesn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
They're wearing a lot of dark colors. They're wearing a lot of furs.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of fashion going on.
Well, they're not on a coast, so they can't, like, trade and be colorful, you know? Like, those colors would come from different places, and they don't live on a coast, so I feel like it's harder for them.
And yeah. You even look like at the royalty, you know, the Starks. Mm-hmm. They're even dressing really modestly.
Well, and also, it's very cold a lot of the time, so you have to dress for function, because otherwise you would die.
Very practical.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to wear layers and furs, and it's going to be dark, because dark colors stay warmer.
Right.
Right, because they absorb the heat of the sun.
Yeah.
So they really think through everything. Well, let's go through our best of the North. We're going to go with Jon Snow. I feel like he's consistently worn beautiful black colors.
Yeah.
It matches black hat.
I like the black.
And he's got, like, the cloak, and it has, like, I'm sure they're very heavy, and I think that probably helps him in character feel like he's very powerful. Mm-hmm. I mean, even looking at him in the photos that we have up, mm-hmm. I mean, he just looks, it gives him, like, broader shoulders, and I'm sure just the weight of it makes him stand taller to feel like he needs to carry it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if we're getting really into it, he has been carrying, like, the weight of this world on his shoulders, feeling like the protector of it. So.
Absolutely, very good.
We're getting really deep.
Yeah, get in there.
If we're, if you will, shedding layers.
No, like an onion, a fashionable onion.
Oh, there he is.
There he is.
I mean, I think his best costume is obviously when he was brought back to life and laying on the table.
So when he was wearing
his birthday suit.
She did a great job with that one.
Yeah, we didn't get a picture of that. And if for everyone listening over iTunes, if you want to see the images that we have, because it is fashion, it's hard to imagine. But if you can use your memory, fine. But if you'd like to go to our YouTube page, go to AfterBuzz TV's YouTube and check out the science or sci-fi fantasy channel. Subscribe to that and watch us there. Yeah. Jon Snow, he has a way of kind of stepping out of the shadow of his father and having his own kind of style. Pragmatic, strong, and black.
I like the black.
I do too.
Did you guys know that whenever they arrive at the wall, whatever they arrive in, they dye the clothes black?
They dye them black.
So whatever they wear, they keep wearing, they just dye it black.
Yep.
Oh, I like that. Mm-hmm. That is cool.
And Jon Snow came prepared, but most people don't.
He showed up with black. He's like, I already got you guys. Don't worry about it.
I like him. And even though he's only half Stark, I think we can count him as one of the most fashionable in the Stark family. I'm also going to give the other best dress to Sansa.
Yes. That makes sense.
And it makes sense, right?
Yes,
because
absolutely.
She's always had this interest in fashion. She makes her own dresses, mm-hmm. right? She's always kind of been more interested in that part of the world of fashion than her sisters and her mother.
She also travels a lot more than the rest of them, so she's had to change her attire depending on where.
Yeah,
but I loved like the dark Sansa.
Yeah. All right. So, what do you like better, the Sansa from the White Wedding with Ramsay,
mm-hmm.
right? Or you know, I guess let's talk about the Sansa with the white wedding with the feathers, the white feathers, or the Sansa from when she was Littlefinger's sidekick. You know,
I'm always gonna go
black hair.
Dark.
Yeah. You like the dark?
Only because like women in power, that was like her most powerful, you know, time that we've seen her, and I like when women take charge, you know, when it comes to, I know we're not at Cersei, but Cersei always seems, even though she's not wearing armor, it always seems like there's metal on her dresses and it always seems like she is wearing armor. And I like that. I like when we see females in powerful clothing. And I think that when she went dark, she became a more powerful woman and mm-hmm. it gave her a different kind of power. So I think for me, that was the best she's ever looked.
Yeah, she definitely stood on her own two feet when she came out with wearing those dark colors. And yet she still kind of resembled a Stark with the big shoulder mm-hmm. pads. The Starks like to wear stuff on their shoulders for warmth, for power.
High collar as well. They always have high collars, I've noticed.
Mm-hmm. She's got to be the most fashionable person in the North, I think.
I have to say, this is not about clothes, but her hair is always on point also.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. And they've dyed it different shades, mm-hmm. too. Yes. Mm-hmm. They've dyed it darker with the dark Sandra. Yep. They've made it a little lighter depending on where she was.
Right. It's almost that her hair got lighter as her innocence was seemingly, you know, there, and then it got darker as it went away.
Mm-hmm.
And then it finally settled on a true brown red like her mother once she found her home back in Winterfell.
I like that.
Yeah.
So good. We always get back to our natural self, right? Yep. We always come.
We always find a way. Yeah.
We go many different colors, but we get back to what we were born as.
So they're living in the cold, but they're doing all right. Let's go with the worst dressed. I'm sorry, guys, but the wildlings. What's up with, what are you wearing?
Listen, whatever I find, okay?
You know,
I'm a wild,
a bunch of furs to stay warm.
Well, you know, there's a way to wear fur.
This is not it.
And this is not it. Look at them. Oh. Bunch of hodgepodge,
just throw
raggedy.
It, on. It doesn't matter. Just be warm.
You could still be warm and be fashionable, okay?
Not
it's
there.
Possible.
Not there. I would look awful there.
Yeah,
I feel like it's
cold there.
Yeah,
I feel like Tormund Giantsbane, his clothes are just going to fall off if he turns too quickly. They're just going to rip apart.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure they're all sewn together very well. I think they are just wearing different pieces of skin and varying layers.
Yeah.
But, like you said, it serves a purpose to keep you warm, because it's like really, really cold up there. It's not just like, oh, it's a little chilly out, or oh, it's cold enough for some snowflakes. It's like if you're outside for too long, you will die. And they have to, you know, they have fur wrapped around their boots and string wrapped around that. Like, they really have to stay bundled up.
And let's face it, if your name is the Wildlings, you can't exactly be laced up properly.
Right.
Okay?
Also, you're all wild. I don't think they care.
No.
Still the worst dressed. I am.
Well, talking about...
You know?
You're not wrong, but yeah.
They're not wrong, but they're poorly dressed. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. they don't care so much about aesthetics, yeah. And that's fine. And they might survive a longer winter than the people dressed in Dorne, but the fashion police are here. And that's what we're talking about today.
Listen, they provide the most mystery for when it comes off. Okay.
Ah, you know what's
interesting? Like, you can't tell their shape or anything.
You remember when Jon Snow and Ygritte were in the waterfall?
That's exactly what I was thinking.
That's what you're thinking of?
In the cave, when she
you know, slips off her furs. There was nothing underneath. Yeah. I thought there would be layers. You know, I thought there would be like another linen underneath that and then
this
underneath
day
that.
There wasn't.
Yeah,
she played. She was ready.
I think
she just slipped off her fur and that was it. That's all that is between her and the wall. It was just a fur.
I don't think that you put these people on this list, but they remind me of the Wildlings, and their wild attire is the Children of the Forest. Mm. They just sort of look like they rolled around in leaves and feathers, and they're like little tree people, and I just love that. They're just so like naturally in their element, and they're sort of wild and in that category, but I would say they're my favorite dressed, not best or worst, just my personal favorite.
I do like their look a lot as well.
Honorable mentions are encouraged. So whenever you think I missed something, fine, throw it in there.
Throwing it in there.
The other worst dressed person in the North, I'm going to have to go with Arya. Yeah. And I know, Kristen, she's like your favorite character ever.
No, that's fine. I would agree.
But she's just poorly dressed. She doesn't care.
Doesn't care at all.
Even when she wasn't trying to pose as a poor begging boy and she had her freedom back, she still chose to dress like a raggedy taggedy.
That's because part of who she is. Yeah, she likes to dress for fighting, which is that's all she wants to do. She wants to be the best fighter. She was always wanting to train with the boys, and you got to dress to be comfortable for that.
I guess, but you know, we're going to move down to King's Landing here in a second, but like, there's some fighters who are pretty fashionable.
True. I mean, it was designed that way.
I mean, Oberyn. Fashionable.
Is he on this list? Because we must talk about him.
We will, but he's not.
But one more thing about Arya is I just remember when we first met her, her and Sansa were dressed in similar dresses, and her arms, like Sansa was all like, you know, prissy and like very proper and laced up correctly, and then there's Arya in a quite similar dress with the arms ripped off and it laced up, just kind of thrown together in knots and not tied properly. Yeah. So I was just like, it was going downhill from the beginning.
Yeah. They tried to like, the king's coming. The king, come on, guys, dress him up. Dress the. And you know, Arya didn't enjoy that process of being dressed up like a doll. It's not who she is.
Nope.
And
she's
that's
still
fine.
In probably opposition from that with her just throwing on rags.
That's why she went so far the other way.
Exactly my point. Yes.
And if this was a list of best and worst fighters, she'd be on the best side, but it's best and worst dressed.
Worst dressed.
She's on the worst side.
Okay.
All right, let's move down to King's Landing. I think, and I didn't include the, you know, the Westlands or the, you know, the Stormlands or the Vale or any of these other kingdoms, because I think that all it really comes down to is King's Landing.
Okay.
King's Landing is the epicenter of fashion.
Right.
I think everything kind of trickles down from there, you know. In an interview with Michelle Clapton, she actually said that that's kind of how she designed everyone else in the court's fashion, and everyone from there kind of trickles down from the most prominent figure, which would be the royal family. So when you see in earlier seasons Cersei's, you know, low-cut, you know, attire, you'll see that if you look closely, everyone else in the court is kind of wearing the same kind of thing. But then as slowly throughout the seasons, as power transitions from her to Margaery, you'll start to see people kind of dressing more like her. And so a lot of thought was put into that. And that's kind of how it works nowadays, isn't it?
Yeah, that's absolutely realistic.
When you look at America's royal family, the Kardashians, I guess.
Yes.
Be the closest you could get,
I mean, it's all about fashion trends, right? And the ones who are in the most prominent position to set those trends do. and then it trickles down from there.
I think I just heard that, like, not to get into this, but was it Kylie or one of them, just they are making, because of their, like, fashion line and makeup line, they're making as much as, like, Bill Gates right now or something.
Kylie is due to be the youngest billionaire, I believe, I think is what it was.
Yeah, with a B.
Self-made billionaire is what it was. I don't know if she counts exactly, possibly, maybe. But yeah, self-made, yeah, with a B, billionaire.
Could you imagine if one of the Game of Thrones characters like started their own line of
Marjorie was like
armor or something, you know?
Summer dresses.
Yeah,
they should.
They probably do. Probably a lot of dresses come out of Highgarden, you know, or fantastic silks from Dorne or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
But so for the best dressed of King's Landing, it was really hard to narrow it down. But I'm gonna go with just all the Lannisters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Lannisters just...
They're so regal looking.
They just know how to do it. Cersei, especially.
Mm-hmm. She's like a mix of like a kimono, like very sleek, like form-fitting, and then with a touch of like medieval. And like I was saying, it always seems like she's wearing armor, even though she's not, because there's lots of like little metal and stuff on her dresses.
And that's another one that changed throughout. When she had long hair versus when her hair is short, also was very different because it used to be more feminine. And then as time went on and, you know, her hair got cut, she definitely started taking on that more powerful role and definitely dressing that way. She's like, I'm tired of being messed with.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell?
And that's another example of how the costumes in this show shape the narrative.
Yeah.
Yeah,
she went from dress, and then if you see in this picture, she literally has, like, chainmail and some armor
on her
shoulders.
She does have some armor, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Darker colors. No longer caring so much about being a fashion trendsetter, trying to stay young and stay queen-like. It became, to be queen for her became a different kind of... It meant something else. It meant tyranny. It meant power.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing says power other more than
I mean, she looks black. Like she's a commander at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is after season 5, after Clapton's departure, April Ferry became the new lead costume designer. And gotta give credit where credit's due. Michelle Carragher, she's the principal costume embroiderer. So we'll throw up some pictures of some of the embroidery on the Lannisters, especially Cersei's clothing is just incredible, to the point where they'll zoom in and there's tiny little skulls of beads that you would never notice in the actual show because, you know, you don't get that close. But the attention to detail is just exquisite. Simon Brindle is the costume armor supervisor, so he supervises the armor across the show, but I would especially like to point out Jaime Lannister's armor is, oh my god.
Yeah.
So good.
Whenever he lost his hand, I heard that they literally spent like 30 days, a ridiculous amount of time, like casting, making that metal cast that like Cersei had made for him.
Yeah.
And it had touches of like a dress that she had worn.
Yeah.
They included that in, you know, making that casted arm and that they had to like make it around his hand and then hammer it together.
Yeah.
And just what a process it was for that one piece, like 30 days.
Even Cersei mentioned, I spent days on it. He's like, days? He's like, bet a pot of an afternoon.
You know?
even his hand, his fake hand, is the most fashionable thing to be seen in the town. You know, whether Jaime's fighting or not, or he's dressed up. And I would have to say, though, that the best dressed in armor would go to the Kingsguard. But I don't like the gold cloaks. I think they look silly. They're the ones with the chainmail that hangs in front of their face.
Oh, yeah. I agree with you.
The gold cloaks who guard King's Landing.
Yeah.
I don't like their look at all. But the Lannisters' personal army, you know, the ones that are with the red and the gold, the gold lion on their shoulders, that's dope. For lack of a more technical term.
I like it. I'm down with it. And Marjorie, of course, would always wear, you know, the roses because of her house.
Because of Highgarden.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they wear, and it's a little bit warmer, more temperate zone, so she wears more, you know, loose-fitting gowns.
That's what I personally like.
Yeah.
If I could wear her clothes now, just around, I would.
I was going to say.
I would wear those. If I had anywhere to wear that to, I would wear it.
I would. I wish it was more socially acceptable to wear. You wear something, you know, like, all right, just throw it out there.
You
just
can
to finish
if
it
you're
up.
That kind of person.
You absolutely
for,
can.
For the best dressed of for King's Landing, in my opinion, is Joffrey.
All right, so especially this picture that you have up of him,
that's
heard.
Tommen.
Oh, that's Tommen?
That's Tommen and Marjorie.
Oh, well, maybe this was Tommen's crown or Joffrey.
Here's Joffrey coming up looks like with Cersei, and there's another one of Joffrey. He has this, this arm cape thing going on.
Mm.
You know, where each arm has its own cape. I thought that was so cool. There's even a scene, if you remember, when he was with his fashion designer. And he scolded him. He said, no flowers.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
Very
and
manly.
He knows what's fashionable, and he knows what's not. He's setting trends. He's wearing this cool arm cape thing. I think Joffrey was the most fashionable person in King's Landing for the longest time.
It definitely fits his personality. He's like, I can't just have one cape. I'm going to need one for either arm, please, mm-hmm. and thank you.
And it's just the gold... And the sash, and the just, he always looked his best. And I think that all the young boys in King's Landing wanted to look just like him. I know I did.
You were like,
he was a monster, but the best dressed monster you'll ever find.
I'm just gonna stay quiet on that one.
I hated
everything about
him. Drapes.
Yeah,
like it's
stop
like he was wearing
curtains,
Joffrey.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Give your mother her curtains back.
Wow, really? You think they're curtains?
I see curtains.
No capes.
He's literally blocking the sunlight from my life, this character.
I think that capes should make a comeback, personally, in our society.
You could start it. You could start the cape.
We did last year at Comic-Con.
I wore a cape.
That's great.
Everywhere. At every party, Kristen couldn't get me to take it off.
Yeah, it's true.
It was even in situations where it just wasn't appropriate to wear a cape.
You still had a cape
on? I wore a cape.
I mean, look, with some of the other fashion trends out that are out now that look very ridiculous to me, personally, I think a cape is less ridiculous. I think you could get away with that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Zia Anderson. Capes are where it's at. And I think, personally, Joffrey wins the cape battle of the world.
All right. That's fine.
Let's talk. If you guys are so, you know, hyped on criticizing some fashion, let's talk of the worst dress in King's Landing.
Okay.
Starting off with Bronn.
Yeah. He's another one. He just doesn't care.
No, he's like very. He's in the same category as Arya because it's like he's all about the fighting. He wants money to kill people, not to go buy clothing.
No.
And you know what's funny is that after he did get a lot of money from Tyrion, Tyrion mentioned, "Why don't you dress better?" He's like, "Cause capes slow you down, catch the light." And so he does mention how it's all about fighting, but then later. You see him dressed like a lord.
Yeah.
After he's given up his fighting ways.
His fighting time.
You remember that when he dressed there all nice?
And wasn't somebody making fun of him for being a fancy lord?
Yeah.
Was it who was that was making fun of him for it? But I think I'm pretty sure there was a scene where they were like, "Oh, it's a fancy lord now." And he's like, "Yeah, well, I got a woman."
I think it was Jaime who called him out.
Yeah, yeah. You're right, it was Jaime.
Cuz Jaime kind of reverted back into this very simple plain way of dressing.
Very logical.
Whereas before, when he had both his hands in this position of prestige, he would wear the most luscious leathers you could find.
Very intricate carved, armor.
And that's amazing. And that was after... this is what we're looking at here, is what the Kingsguard changed to after it was no longer Baratheon rule. After it was Lannister rule, I believe.
Makes sense.
Because every time the king's name changes, it's like kind of like a White House thing. When a new president comes in, they gut it all and they make their own statements.
Right.
Same thing with the Kingsguard and how they dress in their armor. Also, on this worst dress list, I put the Maesters.
Well, I mean, they're kind of just in robes.
I know.
Right? I mean,
but like such like shabby robes.
They're in and out of the bathtub. That's what makes sense.
You look at look at Maester Pycelle right here.
Yeah,
he's even tugging at his own robes. He just can't even stand it. I mean, I know they're supposed to dress humbly. They're, they're like monks. You know, they're supposed to give up their ties to material. But like, they wear the dopest chains. At the same time, that's kind of like their only goal in life is to accumulate some dope chains. But they don't have the robes to match. You look at any maester.
And it also does look like they've never been washed.
Exactly. Such dumb. Shabby robes. Maester Aemon, Maester Pycelle.
It's true.
They're all just kind of... They wrap this big burlap sack around themselves and say, I'm a man of knowledge. I'm a man of, you know... Mm-hmm. I'm a man of the books and the
They're
scrolls.
Not distracted by the colorful things in life.
But they could get ones that are maybe more soft, like softer and more comfortable.
Thank you, like a silk.
Yeah, because they're just wearing it over bare skin. That can't feel great.
I know.
It's just something a little more flowy, you know.
Like I understand the meaning behind it,
right?
But I gotta say, even the High Sparrow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he was
like sarcastically underdressed.
Yes,
and he was still on the same page as the Maesters when it came to their robes. I'm sorry.
No, you're right.
Thank you.
He was dirty too.
I'm sorry to also call out Podrick.
Oh, see, I disagreed with you on this one.
Tell me why.
I agree.
I think he wasn't like he looks still like pretty well put together. Yeah. He's got a nice fur collar. It's not all fur; it's just on the collar. He's clean. It looks like middle of the road, but nice. It's not like very fancy, but he's still. It's well made.
Yeah, we've got Brienne and Podrick here in the photo. Yeah. It's like Batman and Robin. Like, he's clearly mimicking her.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Sorry, Pod.
Also, I met that actor, and he is the sweetest man.
Is he?
Yeah, he's so nice. I can't. I love him too much.
Yeah? Did you ask him what happened in that?
No, I just told him I was excited scene. To see him in the next... Oh, you mean what, like, how big it is? Like, how are you so good? Like, it has to be something like that.
Kristen, she's looking at me like, what are you talking about? Or maybe, why are you talking about it? But there was that one scene where Podrick, you know, was given a gift from Tyrion to go into the whorehouse and have his way with whoever.
Money. Yeah.
And
yeah.
then they didn't accept the money. And then they have that scene where they pour him wine and they're like, details, tell us everything. And then they never do.
Right.
But you just assume that he's a spectacular lover and you just like don't know.
That smile he gets on his face, that like goofy smile. Yeah. I should have asked him about that. What was I thinking?
Obviously his clothing. So why is Shay on here? I mean, she did the best she could.
Shay is on here.
Because, I agree too, though.
Because Shay...
I think she looks great.
It's pretty.
She's doing the best she can for herself.
It's nice fabric.
It's meant to be taken off quickly, right?
Well, yeah.
That's how all my clothes are, just because of comfort.
Absolutely.
Like, I just want to rip them off
as soon as
possible.
You get home.
Yeah, boom.
I know she's supposed to look modest and stuff, especially posing as a handmaid. I just didn't. Maybe it's just because I don't like Shay.
Yeah,
maybe it's like a subconscious thing where I'm just like... Girl, that robe is... But, I don't know, I feel like she...
It's not like the other families, okay? She's got her own thing going on. This probably something she made with whatever she could get.
And it's very pretty.
But yeah, after she was taken under the wing of the Lannisters, I guess both of them, Tywin and Tyrion, she still chose to wear it. And you think it's indicative of where she's from? Because she's foreign and she's from somewhere sunny and warm?
Definitely. Yeah. You get used to the feeling of those clothes.
You can definitely spot. You can tell if you just show a random character, like you were saying. You show a random character on the screen. You could tell what part of the world they're probably from,
exactly,
based on what they're wearing. Same with our society, you know, a little bit.
And that's her sort of maintaining herself and staying true to her character despite being somewhere else.
Yeah,
she's a whore.
Not everyone knows. The Hound. I mean, come on.
Okay, I'm saying this because the Mountain. Was dressed, it looked really cool, right? But the Hound has this, like, this armor that's just falling apart. And maybe it's just because he's big and tall and you can't find anything to fit him.
He has to piece it together one piece at a time.
Yeah. But it just seems like he also doesn't care. But I feel like he's dressed. Yeah. I mean, come on. He's got, like, this burnt up face. At least dressed to impress a little bit.
It certainly isn't cool armor. Like, he's not like, oh, I'm wearing this really cool, awesome armor. It's more just like, I've got this armor. Let's go do this thing. Give me a chicken.
But that's exactly the point, though. It goes along with his character. I mean, he's kind of riff-raff. His face isn't all there, so we can't expect his armor to be either.
I know. Just wish he tried a little harder, that's all.
I like a little more fashion from the Hound. Come on.
I like the way he just throws it all on there and it works for me. I'm into those scars, I'll tell you that. I'm into it.
Nice.
And once again, every single character is dressed so appropriately to their temperament, to where they're from, where they're going, who they are. So it all is brilliantly done, and it paints the picture so intricately, brings you there, and makes you believe it's all true, it's all real.
Yeah. Yes.
That's something that we love about this show, is that it's just so honest.
Pulls you right into its world.
It does. Yeah. And what's really neat, too, is that this isn't necessarily historically accurate stuff. It looks like it could be. It looks familiar. It looks like that's something that could exist, but only in this world that we've been shown.
Yes.
It's not necessarily how they dressed in medieval times, but you can definitely imagine that if this world exists, this is how they would dress.
Right.
So everything's done brilliantly, but he just looks like crap.
Whatever. I'm excited to go east. Can we go east?
Yes. Yes, we can. Let's go east.
I mean, Daenerys
obviously
is another one.
Daenerys. Let's talk about Dany. Let's talk about Daenerys. When we first meet her, she's dressed in whatever her brother put her in.
I mean, she's
very
from
innocent.
A rich family, more so, you know, coming from riches, looking all stylish.
Very silky, very innocent. Her innocence was still intact, and so she's wearing, like, this kind of white, breezy thing.
Yes, again, very low cut, very open silks. And
very seductive, but still resoundingly innocent.
Yeah, yeah.
But then, real quickly, it goes into after she mounts her man.
I mean, we throw her in the tribal life, okay? And it's like she's probably never sweat a day in her life until she got to, you know, the tribe with Khal Drogo. And that's going to change your character and your mindset. And it clearly turns her into a warrior.
Yeah.
I loved her Dothraki look. You know, you got like this scaly thing that's almost like a prelapse or a premonition to her being a mother of dragons.
Definitely.
You kind of have this, you know, this leather, you know, very practical, very warrior-esque, very Xena.
Yeah.
Xenon?
Yep. Speaking of Kyle, though, I did meet him this past weekend.
Jason Momoa?
Oh, Jason Momoa.
No. Did you go to EW?
Yes, I went to EW Party Entertainment Weekly, and I'll be posting that on my gram later on this week. If you want to check it out, I'm at Cinematic Escape. I know we can do that till the end, but
no, I can't wait to see.
I mean, he was so nice. You never want to like interrupt them too much when you see them, but somebody else had just taken a photo, so I felt like it was a good time to like capitalize on that.
Sure. Yeah.
And I just, you know, told him that I really appreciate his work, and he was like, "Oh, thank you," and he genuinely meant it. And his trainer goes with him everywhere. If you guys don't know this, and literally will like, if he drinks a beer, he has to do like 20 push-ups for drinking that beer. So his trainer was there and was nice enough to photobomb our photo and slip his face
That's
in between ours.
Awesome.
So it's a pretty awesome photo, and I'll be posting it later this week.
Very cool. Yeah, thanks for sharing. But how was he dressed?
I'll say he was dressed overall very relaxed. He had an amazing ombre going on with his hair, like with the highlights. He's got his like Aquaman film now.
Yeah.
And he was like slick t-shirt, little like Hawaiian, the sign that they do.
Yeah.
The shaka.
Is that what it's called? The shaka?
It's called the shaka.
Shaka bra.
Yeah. So, yes, he was posting that up.
Shaka bra.
In the
Very
photo.
Cool. Well, speaking of Jason Momoa, Khal Drogo, I think, was the best dressed Dothraki there ever was.
He had those like leather pants that were like laced up, and he wore them the whole time.
And that's all he needed.
Yeah.
And he wore like that golden belt, but it was the one that he used to melt down and then pour the melted gold over Viserys.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh my goodness.
Which is an awesome death scene.
Amazing. Yeah.
What a way to go.
Because he didn't even care. He's got this golden belt that was probably a gift from one of the towns that the Horde went through.
It's worth so much.
He was just wearing it because whatever.
Can we talk about the way he wore his muscles? Like, that was his shirt. He wore a shirt of muscles that he built and put a lot of time. Like, that is the nicest shirt anyone has ever put time into.
Very true.
Muscles and paint.
Very true. It's not just anyone can wear a body like that. You got to work for it.
True.
Got
to work for it.
So it's probably the most man hours were put into Jason Momoa's chest than any other form of,
I would say
of
so.
Clothing on the show. Although, still back to Dany, Tommy Doon is the, I'm sorry, he's the weapons master, but Kevin Alexander is the hair designer.
Oh, my hair.
Develops the hair designers of all the major characters, managing 20 to 30 human-haired wigs, which can cost up to $7,000 each. And Zia, you mentioned to me before we started filming that Danny's wearing a wig most of the time.
Yeah, it takes hours for her to get into that also.
And it was so disappointing to hear. I was so crushed.
You're not the only one.
Yeah.
I've heard this from every man.
Yeah. I heard long time ago, but I did think it was her hair for the longest time.
I did too. I was like, yeah. Wow, her hair is amazing. White and, you know, it's
flowy and
it's perfect, but it's a wig.
Yes.
Or a number of wigs. Yeah.
She is in fact brunette, the actress.
Yeah, Emilia
Clarke. Short brunette hair.
She certainly is.
Yes.
But we won't hold it against her.
We love her anyway.
That just goes to show the amazing job that this team does. Because I had no idea she was wearing a wig. You know, and I can't say that I had any idea that any of these things weren't exactly like what they were supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing looks out of place when you watch the show, except for maybe the sand snakes, but you know, everyone, that was a huge, we don't talk about them.
No, I love them.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
Yes, I do. I want to be one, like, in life, like, dream come true to be one of them. I mean, just talking about, just to ride that wave really quick is, I mean, they would wear, like, headpiece, chainmail headpieces. I remember this one time they had, like, leather straps that were, like, really intricate on their shoulders that their hair even covered these straps, but that, you know, I guess the woman who's in charge of all the outfits was really wanted to go details, even though most of the time you wouldn't see them because these details were under their hair. It's just amazing. I love it. And the way they were so comfortably put on and the way they could move comfortably in them to fight. I love the way they were dressed.
Okay, we'll get down to the stuff.
Thank you.
That's fine. Okay. That's good.
They were sexy and ready to combat at any time.
But yeah, I know we talked about Dani. I guess just to throw a nail in it, I think she's one of the characters who we've seen evolve most in as far as fashion goes.
Yes.
She's gone to so many different locations on the planet or whatever it is, in the realms.
The realm, yeah.
Realm.
And so we've seen her evolve from an innocent shroud to Dothraki to the drapes that she got in Karth from Zaro Zoan Daxos, who was also
Zoro Zoro Daxos is what I used to call him.
Is Zoro Zoro Daxos?
Daxos.
Who I also think he was probably the best dressed in Karth.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The greatest city that ever has been.
Rich. Yeah. A lot of these men, they sort of put in feminine attire, but they wear them very masculinely.
Yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
They do.
They're still those very bright colors, and they're very soft fabrics.
Yeah.
And he's
like cut in at the waist a little bit, like a woman's dress would be.
I don't know if you guys remember, she only really had one or two scenes when we were in Karth.
Yeah.
And it was the Quaithe. I don't know if you remember her, but we're going to throw up right here. She's the one who...
Armor over her face?
Yes.
Yeah.
She had this armor over her face and told Jorah where to find the dragons. And I thought it was just so cool looking.
It is a very cool face
armor.
It's very
unique.
Yeah.
It's reminiscent of Hannibal Lecter for me. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think of that.
A little bit. But it was just, I think it was the most unique piece of armor that we've seen on the show, that I've seen, so I had to throw her in the best dress because it's just awesome.
It's very cool. It's not like she's wearing a helmet; she's wearing just over the face.
Yeah,
I'm into it.
So I loved her. But the speaking of Jorah, I'm gonna have to throw him in the worst of the East. He's got I love the guy. He's got like this Indiana Jones thing going on, but and it's he just he's a man.
Dirty,
he's a manly
stained.
Man. But he's just another one of those guys who just doesn't care.
Yeah.
It's all about practicality. He's either wearing this or he's wearing the armor over it.
Yeah.
He
looks like lumberjacky to me, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like sort of
Indiana
almost
Jack.
Like V-neck.
Jack.
V-neck sort of sweater. Seems like he just should be cutting down trees in that outfit.
But the problem with my issue is that he's rolling with the queen of the world, pretty much. I mean, it's not like they don't
break
have access
pants.
to finer textiles. He can, if he's like, you know, I think I want to upgrade my sweaty, dirty rags. He totally could have.
He's like Bronn in that way.
But yeah, he just chose, you know, he knows what he likes, and that's fine. You know, you see a guy wearing a white t-shirt and jeans, some pull it off, some don't.
He's a simple man with simple tastes.
And I like him for that.
Yeah.
But he's not the most fashionable.
No, not
so much. Also, I did not really like anyone in Marines outfits.
Can we talk? What was the It was sort of the people with the mask, though.
The Sons of the Harpy?
The Sons of the Harpy.
Those are cool masks.
I do like those masks,
They were cool masks, but the outfits that they were wearing, especially, I mean, all of them wore the kind of the same thing, but Hizdar Zolorak, if you remember him, he was kind of like the spokesperson for the other slave masters of Meereen. And here's a good shot of their outfit, where it's just kind of like these robes with this double ring feature in the front.
I like it.
And I don't. I don't see any reason why. Yeah. It's just all, you could tell it's just traditional, but everyone dresses like that, probably because the royal families do, and so everyone else does, right? So it kind of just shows how people conform to that. But I didn't really see a point to it. I didn't see, it looked kind of like, maybe, it looked like a hassle to put on and take off. Maybe it's...
It's like a belt with jewelry on it, like a body belt with jewelry.
A body belt. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. It doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing sleek about it. It's just like, it's again, like kind of like they tied a slightly nicer burlap sack on.
Whatever, guys. I disagree with you. I'm loving the body belts.
You love it?
Wrap me up in that body belt.
Hey, you know what, guys? If anyone is listening or watching at home, if you agree or disagree with our, you know, critiques of this fashion show, please leave a comment. We love to read them.
Yes.
And we love to see the heated debates that you guys get into. So yeah, that does it for our best and worst, but I want to play a little game with you guys.
Oh, games. I love the games.
Called Who Wore It Best? Kind of like, you know, they would do in like People Magazine, you know, on the red carpet.
Yeah.
So let's start off with armor.
Okay.
Obviously, Jamie wore everything best, so we're not going to include him in the armor. But and I know I wrote down here Brienne of Tarth and Grey Worm, but I feel like, and you guys can comment on those, but I did feel like they were too similar, so I switched it up to Jorah and Robb Stark, because they both have a very similar kind of outfit.
Okay.
When it comes to armor, you know, Robb Stark had those really big shoulder pads, and so does Jorah. The only thing that Jorah has that Robb Stark doesn't, though, is that big bear emblem right in the middle for, you know, the House Mormont.
Yeah.
So
Jorah Mormont.
What do you guys think? Who wore it better? Their armor.
I'm going with Rob. Yeah, I was just because he's Rob. It's Ned's son, and I remember him just the way he walked and the way the armor really stood out to me on Rob.
I personally think he carried it better.
Like, the perfect word choice. Yes,
I agree. It was a statement. Those big shoulder pads are very iconic. But one thing bothered me. I don't know if you noticed, but like the edge of the shoulder pads would always get stuck in the leather.
No, that's not a critique I ever picked up on.
It would always like hang right there in the leather, and you were just like, you wanted to go over and adjust it for him. Like, come here, Rob. Come here. Let me just bend this out a little bit.
Listen, I don't mind going over and adjusting it for him, but I didn't notice it being an issue.
Ooh, what about this? I know that Jamie Lannister's just the sexiest armor wearer, but what do you guys think about Ser Loras?
Oh,
The Knight of Flowers. I mean, his setup.
It was very
really cool, intricate armor.
Pretty for a man.
Yeah.
You can still use pretty for men's stuff. Yeah, it was very pretty.
Yeah, a handsome woman too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You're right. It was very, very pretty. I liked it. And it, again, spoke to his character a lot, obviously.
Right. Yeah.
And where he was
from. You see someone wearing that, you're like, You're a fancy man.
You're a fancy man. He's a fancy man.
All right, guys. What about, let's move to wedding gowns. We've seen a lot of weddings, and we've seen a lot of wedding gowns. And so I want to compare Sansa and Margaery. And since, Sansa, I think, wins with Ramsay and Margaery with Tommen. But since they both had a wedding with Joffrey, let's compare those dresses.
Well, I just prefer Margaery in, like, her clothing always just sort of seemed to fit her like a glove.
Mm-hmm.
I see we're looking at the photos now.
She had this turquoise dress with flowers flowing out the back, out of the small of her back, and then spiraling outward and down.
I would get married in that.
I would get married to that.
Right. It is beautiful. Yeah, I'm going to have to hands down go with Margaery on that one.
You're right. Amazing. And you know Sansa, her heart wasn't in it.
No.
I feel like she just stood there and said yes to anything they showed her for her wedding dress. She just didn't care.
And again, they look like curtains to me.
They do look like, you're right, those are drapes.
Thank you, Joffrey, for the drapes.
And you know what? It's probably because Joffrey didn't want her to look better than him.
Yeah.
So he probably, he's the one who approved the dress.
Yeah, and it's kind of like a pukey color. Sorry. I don't know. That's just our screen, but I'm not into it.
That dress looks exactly how she probably felt that day.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Cool. Marjorie wore it better. And then, the last, who wore it best? I want you guys to talk about who wore the color black. And I know Jon Snow is the winner by default, but Sansa or Cersei? When they both came into their black gowns, their outfits.
I like Sansa better in that one.
Yeah.
Just because of where she came from as a character. Mm. Cersei, you always kind of saw it. But with Sansa, she went through a huge transformation. She went from being so annoyingly...
Like, girly and prissy and crybaby.
Yeah, and very, she was taken advantage of easily. She was
delicate.
Yeah. To being just a very, very strong character. She was very jaded, well, you know, obviously, with everything that happened to her. So it made a bigger statement to me when she stepped out in that black.
Yeah.
So I liked it better.
I did like the feathers.
Yeah.
She did, like, these... Because she made it herself from whatever she could find.
Mm-hmm.
And so she made it from raven feathers. She was stuck in the veil.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a really cool feature.
Yeah.
Although Cersei had her armor.
Just to go against you guys. Cersei, tough. Like, she's always had a dark spirit and she's always been evil. And I feel like she came into her own, like, this color just, like, she fits into it so well. And it just shows her character more than... I don't like Sansa to be, like, a nasty, dark person, even though, like, she, that was, like, her character arc, and I just feel like Cersei, like, she just is a dark spirit, so this just kind of encompasses who she is as a character. So for me, I'm going Cersei.
Very cool.
Good point, yeah.
You know, there's so much more you could talk about, even with each individual character. The amount of hours that were put into every costume, whether it's a main character or people on the streets. They have a team of dedicated, at least 10 people, mm-hmm. who actually go through and weather and wear these clothes,
wow.
and sweat in them and roll around the dirt. They use them to create this realism that I feel like it's something that you don't always notice because they do it so right. It's not something that you point out. You know, it's just, it blends in and it becomes the world, and they do such a great job.
We didn't talk about the pirate world of, like, Theon and Yara.
Sure,
and the Greyjoys. Just throwing
honorable
that out
mentions,
there. I mean, they are, like, so, like, the pirate type of clothing.
Perfect.
I love that.
I loved the look of, especially the Blackfish.
Mm-hmm.
How, you know, he wore his armor looked like fish scales.
Yes.
You know, everyone kind of has their own identity, and that's kind of, you don't see people wearing the same things because there is no just store where you can all buy the same outfit. Everything's, like, intricately made for just you. If you can afford it, you go to a tailor and they pick out the cloth and they cut it for you and everything's pleated just for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's a couple of more honorable mentions. Trystane, I think, was the best dressed in Dorne.
Yeah.
Oberyn was really well dressed. He had those sunspots.
He's
in the armor.
Another one that they dressed sort of feminine.
Anemone?
Anemone? But he wore it very masculine. Like, they had the mm-hmm. oranges and they, like, sort of tied to his body. But he also would wear armor that, like, let him be, like, sort of a water dancer, like, well on his feet.
Sure. Another honorable mention would be Varys. Varys, he always wore, earlier on, before he became kind of an outcast, he wore these robes that I couldn't tell if it was, like, draped over the left or over mm-hmm. the right. You know what I mean? Every robe, it looked like it was, like, a crisscross.
Yeah.
And the way he wore it, it was just so unique.
With his hands,
and his hands would always just disappear.
Yeah.
And his counterpart, also, Littlefinger, I have to mention, he's my favorite. And he's just so dapper.
He is very well dressed. Yes, he's
a very
well dressed man.
Minimalistic, you know, with his own little mockingjay up by the neck, and he wears capes so well.
It's very clean cut.
I gotta tell
you, he's always hiding something under that cape, though.
He's hiding Sneaky secrets man. Under there. That's exactly. Why. That's why he hides his whispers. Well, we could go on and on, but we can't. Unfortunately, we're out of time. We're out of time today. But it was really cool to highlight some of the really fun outfits that these people wear and the versatility and the range that every character has. Guys, it was fun talking fashion with you today.
Definitely. Yeah. And did you have Michelle Clapton? Is she like the one who creates all the costumes?
Michelle Clapton, you looked up her. She was, yeah.
She was very well dressed as well.
Well, you know what's funny about that is most costume designers, they don't actually
dress nicely.
They dress. That's hilarious. They throw something on, and I talked to a lot of costume designers being on set and stuff for different projects, and they're all just like, I just wear the same black thing every day. I don't care. Like, that's interesting. You shape the narrative of an entire universe.
And because they're too focused on that.
Exactly.
Like, I can't think about what I'm putting on. Goodness.
Credit where credit's due. Michelle Clapton, you did an amazing job. And everyone at the Game of Thrones production, just mwah!
Yes.
You get our AfterBuzz TV stamp of approval. Yes. Guys, where can we keep up with you after this show?
You guys can follow me. I'm Kristen Elizabeth Snyder at Cinematic Escape on all the social mediums. Cinematic Escape.
Cinematic
one word.
Escape. That's a good one. You can find me on Instagram only, actually, at Zia_Land.
Zealand. Very cool.
I like it.
And I'm Ryan Malotti. You can follow me everywhere at Ryan Malotti, Instagram, Twitter, yada, yada. And then also, guys, please subscribe. So you don't miss another one. We'll be back again next month, the last Thursday of every month, until the show comes back and we can do season 8. Give us a thumbs up if you like our video and you like what you see. And until we meet again, Vada Magules.
Bye-bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.